going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Saturday. Final hour of the show. It's flown by today. Well, it might have something to do with today's 3 hours, not five. So, you know, just a little bit different, but fun conversation with producer Dom last segment, talking about most impressive thing you did at 20 years old, because for a lot of us, it's nothing really that impressive. However, for Didier Fuentes, last night, pitching for the Braves against the Marlins, I mean, I was certainly not able to throw 97 at 20. And I also, like a previous guest, Glenn Willis, did not go fight for our country at 20 years old either. Just not nearly as impressive.
Nah, you didn't have a sick slider or anything like that.
Not at all. Like, I was just awkwardly navigating life trying to get my degree at Georgia State. Well, I'll have to find out what our next guest did at 20 years old. So we go out to the waitfor.com hotline and bring in Joe Patrick. He is the co-host of Five Stripe Final, as well as, of course, our 92.9 The Game Falcons reporter. He also has a brand new podcast. Wherever you find your podcast, go out and get Joe Patrick on Football. It's not going to be difficult to find at all. Just put Joe Patrick's name into where you find your podcast. Joe, how you doing on a Saturday, man?
I'm doing good, Caleb. I'm doing good. I'm a little bit less good when I hear that you're about to ask me what I any accomplishments I had at 20 years old.
Yeah. So just for your reference, I just mentioned the fact that the most impressive thing that I did at 20 years old, because I went through my photos of the year 2014, which is when I was 20 years old, which gets to age people, and that's always fun, is I survived Snowmageddon out on the streets. I was up at Town Center Mall, got stuck because I was trying to get an autograph for the Upton brothers who were going to be there signing together. And instead, I got stuck and had to survive for a couple of days buying hotel rooms that I didn't on money I didn't have at 20 years old. So, yeah, most impressive thing you did at 20 years old. Do you have anything?
Man, I mean, I'm soft. Probably the most impressive thing I can think of is it's basically making my own letterhead for a credential application that landed me at a Hawks game in a locker room with LeBron James. That is certainly something, though.
I didn't see.
There was no deception involved. It was legit, you know, website that I had at the time. And so, you know, it was all above board, but I actually couldn't believe that it happened. And to that point in my life, I thought that was probably the coolest thing that I'd ever done. Yeah, that's nothing, obviously, compared to some of these athletes and stuff.
But I get it. It's funny. Joe, was thinking the same thing. I was thinking when I would type in 2014 that I would see me out, but it wasn't until I was 21. It was the next year, 2015, where I was I had done the similar thing that you did, was working with my university and got credentials of the Pro Bowl. So at 21, I interviewed Von Miller, Ben Roethlisberger, and Aqib Talib and a couple other people out at the NFL Pro Bowl. And that was like the most impressive thing that I did that year. But creating your own letterhead is certainly, like, that's not nothing.
And that was, basically copying another institution's letterhead and then just like swapping out the names and like removing the logo and replacing it with our own. But I think about this question often, Kayla, because like, especially in the world of soccer, you know, it's, you have guys who are playing professionally sometimes, like the top homegrowns can be playing professional games at 16, 17 years old. And then, you know, they make some mistake. There's actually a great book. It's, you know, people are probably familiar with the movie called Fever Pitch. Originally a book written, by a British writer about Arsenal, the Premier League club. And he actually has a little passage about this where, you know, there's this youngster that came up through their academy that has, gets a red card in a game and is booed off the field. And like, people are mercilessly just cursing him out. And he's like, think about this kid. He's been the best player for his little league team, then his like little travel team, and then his academy, all the way up. He's been the best player, and now he's out here at 18 years old. He makes a mistake, gets sent off, and now everybody's telling him he's a bleep and bleep, you know. But that's just the way it goes, I guess, in sports.
Absolutely. And speaking of the world of soccer, we've had a really cool introduction to what's going to happen next year in this city with the World Cup coming. This time around, the Club World Cup getting played across different venues, including Mercedes-Benz Stadium. What you've gotten to see, Joe, of this tournament so far, I guess what's impressed you with how Atlanta has been as a host specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's unfortunate so far for Atlanta because they've had a couple games that have been kind of like in the middle of the day on a weekday, and so it's just not very easy for people to get out, and the matchups they've had are not very, you know, like not geographically close to the fan bases. So understandably, like, not filling out the stadium. But I think that will, as the tournament progresses, it could change. And it was great to see Lionel Messi score, and that crowd was very into that game. So, but I would say that aside, it's actually been a pretty interesting tournament, even if it is just kind of, if it feels exhibition-y to me. But still, you're actually seeing some exciting stuff. You're seeing these Brazilian teams that are really fun to watch. Boca Juniors had a great, you know, outing against Bayern Munich and with a great goal in that game. So it's been fun to see some of that that like true like international soccer atmosphere kind of, you know, start to make its way around the country. And just kind of whets the appetite for what it's going to be like 100x this next summer.
Yeah, I mean, to get to witness an MLS club win their first competition that actually matters. It's not a friendly, against the European club. Really cool for I guess, unfortunately, that was Miami that was in Atlanta. but to get to see Messi and everything like that has certainly been cool. I know a big topic of conversation has been the playing conditions, or at least were coming into the match, just because of how things were discussed last year. With the different circumstances of the grass being brought in. This time around, a much better situation. The alien grow lights are out there. What has been the conversation that you've heard about how the playing surface is held up in Atlanta?
Well, actually, I have not heard much about it. And that in of itself tells you that is a very good thing. The only reason the surface gets talked about is when it's bad. So if you're not hearing any talk of it, then that's a very good thing. And it makes sense that, you know, the FIFA organizers, they wanted this to be a true test run for next summer. And they gave the grass more time to set in for this tournament than they did last year. I think they only gave it like a day basically to kind of settle in before they started playing on it. And it was bad last year. This year seems to be a lot better. They've got like different, they basically have just, you know, improved, and the process is kind of more substantiated this year than it has been prior. So that's great news. And I think that it should make for the World Cup games at Mercedes-Benz Stadium go off without a hitch.
Now, they will be, at least my understanding, tearing this all up and getting rid of it by the time the five stripes come around to play back at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But, Joe, I wanted to go from Club World Cup to talking about the Five Stripes and the fact that it was your account that brought up a kind of rumor that's out here in the streets as we get ready for this back half of the season for Atlanta United, that is Pedro Amador on the move here? Like, what's kind of going on with the team as far as them being sellers?
Sounds like he could be. There's a report out there that there's a $1.2 million bid for him from a Saudi Arabian club, a Saudi club. And the point that I made, that I put out there, is that if that is the deal on the table, then I think that Atlanta United has to take it. And it's unfortunate because, you know, Pedro Amador has not been one of the worst offenders on this greatly underperforming Atlanta United team, not at all. But this Atlanta United team is nowhere close to being competitive. And how long do you really want to keep around a player like Pedro Amador when it's probably going to take a little bit of time to make all the transfers to really turn over this roster, when you could get resources for him right now? And, you know, not just any resources, but, you know, you sign him on a free transfer, he gets paid slim wages, you would get $1.2 million to basically inject back into this rebuild. I think that that's just, you know, I think that that is a deal that it's just smart to take because it's going to make the rebuild more successful. And there's lots of moves that this team is going to have to make. There's obviously going to be a lot of players on this current roster whose contracts drop off after this year, and that will just free up cap space. But they're going to need to make signings, or they're going to need to bring in players. And also, you know, for example, like, you know, one that maybe people don't think about so much, but like a goalkeeper, like you're going to have to bring in a starting goalkeeper, and that's not something you can really kind of skimp on in terms of the cost. So there's a lot of work to do for this team in terms of the rebuild. And I just think that it makes sense to basically take anything that people are going to give you. You got to kind of sell the thing for parts, basically, at this point. I don't think that the DPs are going to move. I think that all three of those guys, Moranchuk, Almiron, and Latte Lott, will be here next year and probably going forward. And frankly, I don't think that those guys are necessarily the problem with this team. I think that there's just a lot of other parts of this team that are not working well, and they're going to need to replace. And so I would take the $1.2 million into doing that.
Talking with Joe Patrick on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, apart from being our 9-9 the game Falcons reporter, apart from having the Five Stripe Final podcast that you can listen to, he's also got a new Falcons podcast. And so I want to get spend the rest of our time talking about that. Joe Patrick on football. Very simple and straight to the point. We love that. Joe.
Pass is legal.
Yeah, pass is legal. Exactly. When it comes to this upcoming season and how Terry has rationalized putting together how the draft played out and all of these sorts of things. We've seen some recent comments where Terry Fontenot, GM of the Falcons, justified trading that pick to the Rams and are trading for the Rams pick this year in order to take James Pierce Jr. How have you kind of seen him justify this whole process of what he's done to give up assets in the future, which it included you sending out a tweet with the word anti-mimetic is something that I was like, I had to read it like three times because I said, he said, what? Okay. There's not an S there. Fine. Okay. We're all good. But, yeah. How do you see Terry kind of rationalizing this thought process that obviously a lot of fans have been up in arms about because the uncertainty of not having a first-round pick next year?
Yeah. So a couple things. First, on the James Pierce Jr. thing, I think the way that Terry Fontenot has framed this and the way the Falcons, Raheem Morris, will continue to frame this is they basically are just using their first round pick next year, this year. And I think that that's generally fine. Like that's a fair way to say it. Because I think a lot of people, when you look at the trade, the fact that they got a third round pick back in that deal that allowed them to continue to pick up the pieces they needed in that draft with Xavier Watts, which is ultimately where that pick went, even though they had to trade up again using that pick to get him. I think that it basically makes sense that that's what they did. And I think that it speaks, I think it's actually smart, you know, it is a little queasy. It makes your stomach a little queasy to trade away a first round pick. But the way I see it, Caleb, is like, it's a very deep edge class this year, or it was. And so why not like invest into that, like really go into the strength of the class, which is also a clear weakness for this team and has been like generationally. So I think that the Falcons were very smart to just use the strength of their class to their advantage. You could actually say they did the same thing last year when everyone was even more pissed about what they did when they drafted Michael Penix with the eighth overall pick when they didn't necessarily need one because they'd already signed Kirk Cousins. But how often do you come across a quarterback class that's this deep and you're picking, you know, at the end of the top 10 and you have a quarterback as talented as Michael Penix is, and we're starting to see just what the Falcons were seeing when they were scouting him now that he started to play. And yeah, it is a little painful at the time to make that deal, but ultimately I think it's going to look like it's going to turn out to be, you know, one of the smartest moves that this team has potentially made in many years and potentially securing a long-term starting quarterback. I'm not anointing him as that now, but it certainly looks like he's going to be that. And so, I just think it's smart. And I just generally think that when you look at all these moves that Terry's made, like, yes, they are unusual. They're absolutely not typical. What I would call the NPC GM would do, the non-playable character GM would do. It's like, you know, when you're doing the mock drafts, you expect all the teams, you know, what the teams outside of you are going to do for what their needs are. And Terry Fontenot is not necessarily going to follow that script like other GMs or other teams or even fans think he should. And I also want to say, this is for better or for worse, which is what I put in that tweet. Like, it doesn't always work out. Taking Kyle Pitts as the highest drafted tight end in NFL history did not work out, but they thought that that was something that was worth doing, you know, and that's not necessarily on par with some of these other deals that we've seen, but just generally speaking, Terry Fontenot is not going to kind of like, you know, lean on and kind of, I would kind of say, kind of be scared and kind of just do the thing that he's not going to get criticized for doing, you know, like he's going to be bold. He's going to make those moves. I wonder if part of that, the reason is because he comes from this Mickey Loomis school from New Orleans Saints, where they have been aggressive in going for their guys. And it has for similar results in New Orleans, it's paid off for them in some respects. And sometimes it blows up in their face. But I think that Terry Fontenot is just, I respect his willingness to kind of open himself up to the criticism that we've seen him get in order to do what he thinks is the best thing for the organization.
We'll get to mull it over for the next few weeks until we can see this team in training camp. And then, of course, wait around for week one, how it all will play out. That is Joe Patrick. Follow him on social media at JAPatrick200, co-host of Five Strike Final, as well as make sure you look for his podcast, Joe Patrick on Football. Joe, really appreciate you giving us some of your time on this Saturday, man.
Always enjoy coming on, Caleb. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. On the other side of the break here on the Dopey Millennial Show, it's game 7 in the NBA Finals, as well as the NBA draft coming up for the Hawks. 13-22 is where they're picking. I had a great conversation with Keith Smith of Spotrac earlier in the week. I want to let you listen to that because he gave some great analysis about free agency and what specifically the Hawks should do. We'll get into that next right here. Caleb Johnson with you on Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
App. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Saturday. Well, entering into the evening time. Braves still looking good so far. Grand Homes Day is over, and the Braves lead 3-0 in the seventh. And you've got De Los Santos on the mound. Okay, so let's knock on wood. We have a good outing from the bullpen and get this win, get back on track. Sunday night, Game 7, NBA Finals. Winner takes all. We have not had a Game 7 in the NBA Finals since 2016. Cavs and Warriors. Obviously, as exciting as that one was, I expect this one to have that same sense of drama. It doesn't have necessarily the same star power, obviously, but as far as impact on legacy, certainly going to play a factor for both Shea and Tyrese, especially with how healthy Tyrese ends up being in this game. Right after it, though, you've got the NBA draft. And a lot of different ways that this Hawks team can address their needs. As well as this past week, we've had a massive trade. I'm not willing to call it blockbuster, but a massive trade in the NBA with Desmond Bane going for 4 first-round picks. Absolutely insane. And so with that, earlier this week, I had Keith Smith of Spotrac. He is the numbers guy. He is the one who is going to give you the best information about how players work and how the contracts work, how everything can get fit together, and we're going to let you listen to that conversation that I had earlier with Keith Smith right now in the NBA. Keith, how's it going, man?
It's going really well. Yeah, you're right. This is a crazy time in the NBA. We get the finals going on, but we get the draft in less than a week, and we've got all kinds of free agency and trade stuff happening as well. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, I was thinking, Keith, like, I don't necessarily know where I want to start because you could go a lot of different directions, but I will begin with I put it in quotation marks, blockbuster trade that we had this week, just because I think when you have a blockbuster trade, there is usually a star involved. However, there was star-level assets given up this week for Desmond Bane. He goes from Memphis to Orlando for 4 first-round picks, a pick swap, KCP and Cole Anthony. Just when you see this deal go down, Keith, what do you make of the cost for a player like Desmond Bane?
Yeah, it was a high cost, but you have to, I always tell people you can't evaluate trades against other trades. Each one happens in its own individual bubble. And in this case, the Magic, they don't have a ton of open roster spots. They won't have a ton of open roster spots over the next few years. And they desperately needed someone who could shoot, someone who could do a little bit of on-ball, off-ball scoring beyond just being a shooter, someone who can be a playmaker, and someone who wasn't going to really hurt their elite defense. And Desmond Bane fills all those roles really, really well for them. So for them to give up four first-round picks and a helpful player in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and another potentially helpful guy in Cole Anthony is not – it's not like a team that is rebuilding, saying, here's a whole bunch of draft picks, and we're going to try to shortcut the process. They're kind of looking for more of, all right, who's the final piece we can add to take us to the next level? So I think it was a really good acquisition by Orlando. I think he's going to fill, like I said, a huge need for them and really help them get to where they want to be, which is beyond just the first-round playoff team. And then on the Memphis side, they're pivoting in a little bit of a different direction. They're going to retool that roster around John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and try to build things back up that way. And now they've got a bunch of draft capital that they can use, whether that's in the draft or in trades themselves or other things. But they're in pretty good shape, too.
I know for, like, the basketball factor of this, it feels like, the you know, to your point of this made Orlando better, absolutely. This is what they were missing, essentially. When it comes to the money, though, of working this whole thing out, I feel like when you looked at like the Knicks trading, what was it, I think, four first-round picks for Mikal Bridges, it was like, well, but he's on a very team-friendly deal. When you look at Desmond Bane, like, it feels like he's making a pretty big chunk of change. They're also going to have to pay Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, like all of those things kind of coming into play with this new CBA that restricts how much, you know, you can really spend on for teams to have. Does that in any way affect them, where it's like they feel confident enough they're going to be competitive, that those first round picks aren't going to be that great and they can pay everyone?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you've got Franz Wagner on a max deal starting next year. Jalen Suggs is on a near max deal.
I didn't even mention, yeah, Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, absolutely. You got Desmond Bane on a near max deal. Then you're going to have Paolo Banchero. He'll sign his max extension. That'll kick in a year from now. So you're going to have four guys making very close to max money, if not the max. So, yeah, Orlando's living in a different world now than they were in previous years. But they said, Jeff Weltman, their president of basketball operations, said, hey, we feel like we have a core now with the right guys around them that can really make us a good team, and we're not as worried about needing that draft capital to fill holes down the line in the light. We'll see how that works out, you know, 3-4 years from now. But I always look at it, too, is it's very easy for a GM to trade future draft picks when it feels like their team's a little stuck, because if they don't, you know, who knows where they're going? Are they going to be even around to make those picks? But I think in Orlando's case, they're committed to this new core group. And what also helps is they do have a lot of other guys under contract already. So you're not looking to constantly fill 3, 4, 5 roster spots every offseason. They've got a pretty established roster, and it feels like Bane's kind of, to some extent, the finishing touch on that.
Talking with Keith Smith of Spotrack and the front office show on the WaitFor.com hotline here on the Dopey Millennial Show, Caleb Johnson. Now, Keith, when Hawks fans see a trade like Desmond Bane go down and you see what is given up in order to acquire him, I think that scares a lot of people of, well, we want to make this team better. But, you know, I mean, has the price kind of changed in that sort of a way? With the options of what Atlanta is looking at this offseason, when it comes to cap space, where they can spend, what are kind of the realistic numbers that Atlanta has to deal with right now?
Yeah, they're going to be over the cap, but they're in pretty good shape despite that. And them being over the cap puts them in company with probably 28 other teams in the NBA. It looks like only the Brooklyn Nets are going to have any kind of meaningful cap space this offseason. So I think we're going to be in a position for the Hawks where they should have, barring things getting really crazy with re-signing Caris LeVert and maybe Larry Nance Jr., as long as they don't get out of control with those contracts, they should have enough room to use the full non-taxpayer mid-level, which is $14 million in spending power, and that's a pretty good chunk of change. Now, I want to caution by saying this is not a great free agent class.
Yeah.
That said, there are guys who would be valuable signings for a portion of that non-taxpayer MLE, and that puts the Hawks in good shape. They're also in good shape if they need wiggle room in a trade to go do something and take on a little bit of money but not trigger all the apron issues that come with that and the hard caps and the like, because they're so far underneath those that they should be okay. So I think Atlanta's in really good shape this offseason to add some guys around what I think is already a pretty good young core, provided that they're healthy next season with guys like Jalen Johnson for most of the year. I think Atlanta's going to naturally be in better shape than they finished last year.
Keith, you put out an article on SpoTrack listing the top 50 NBA free agents. You know, you can look through those lists, and obviously there's like the, okay, these guys are technically free agents, but not really. We know they're going to end up back with their squad and that sort of thing. But then there are those guys who are very likely to change teams this offseason. Is there anyone amongst that list that you think is a viable option that the Hawks could keep their eye on?
Yeah, I mean, the first guy, obviously, that we look at is their own free agent, who's Caris LeVert. You know, I think, you know, look at bringing him back. I think he's a good fit with them. I think he feels a real need for Atlanta. You're going to need to add someone else in the front court, because I think Clint Capella's time has come to an end in Atlanta. The good news there is there's a lot of potential, centers available if they want to go that direction. You know, a guy like Luke Kornet is a really undervalued guy who can start. He's going to not be an all-star or anything, but he can start. He's a good rim protector. He's really solid finishing around the rim, and he does some nice things. You could even get involved in a guy like Jalen Williams. If you're looking for more of a combo big, a guy like Bobby Portis could be available, who could be helpful for the Hawks, or Trey Lyles, or re-sign Larry Nance Jr. I think they'd be in really good shape that direction if they did something like that. So, you know, those are the things I think for the Hawks, is because you're not looking to fill five roster spots this summer, they can go out and really make a targeted signing where it is, hey, this is the guy we think is the guy to kind of put us over the top, put us in position to be a playoff team next year, make an improvement run like what the Pistons made, where we, you know, get into that top six, or like what Orlando's done over the past couple years, and go get that guy, because they don't need to fill, you know, five roster spots this summer. They've got a couple draft picks, and they've got a whole bunch of guys under contract. So I think they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, how does the first-round pick money kind of work out for them? Because they're going to pick at 13 and 22 this year. Last year just had the number one overall with Zachary Risacher. How does that kind of factor into their money decisions they'll have?
Yeah, so those guys come onto the books as a what's called a cap hold. And it's a rookie scale cap hold, which is a set amount. All first round picks are tied to a set amount. So for the 13th pick, it's about $5.2 million. For the 22nd pick,
yeah,
I think
22
is about $3.4 million for that pick. So they'll be in pretty good shape with those guys. Obviously, a hit on one of those picks, you're in even better shape, because that's a guy who's under really team-friendly, yeah, cost-controlled salary for at least the next 4 years. And that's how we see these teams build up through the draft, because when you get somebody who's really good, a starter-level guy, making under, you know, $7 or $8 million for a few years, and then you could go out and spend that money elsewhere. So that's big. I would also keep an eye on, they may look at it and say, we're pretty young already. They may not want to add two rookies, and there are a lot of teams looking to acquire either a second pick or just to get into the first round. So I'd keep an eye on maybe that 22nd pick getting moved in a trade if Atlanta finds the right kind of offer, simply because, I don't know that they want to trend too young with this roster if the idea is to start to try to push things forward more into contention.
Makes a lot of sense. Keith, I want to ask just a couple more before we get you out of here. The Lakers had a pretty monumental move this past week, as it was announced they're going to be selling, or at least the Buss family is going to be selling their majority share of the team to Mark Walter. And they have this new value of $10 billion up from 4.4. I believe that was in 2020. The timing of now, why do you think now the Buss family decides to sell the team and end up in a position where it looks like Jeannie's still going to be running the team, but Mark Walter wants to take over and spend some pretty big cash as they get this new value that really just kind of grows things even more for the Lakers.
Yeah, you know, I think with that Lakers sale, there's a lot of moving parts. Clearly, great for the Lakers, right? They you know, $10 billion for them. That's, you know, an incredible life-changing sum of money for the Bucks family. They'll never have to worry about money again. Any of the six children who are the six-way co-owners of the team now, they're set forever. So that's, you know, really good for them. And then I think the next part, as we look at this, it's great for the league as a whole. One, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Mavericks, the Suns, those four sales all went for large sums over what their original valuations were. That, to me, says the NBA is in great shape. They're healthy. The league looks good. Outside people who, you know, quite frankly, are pretty smart people that own some other sports franchises feel like the NBA is a good investment. Then the other thing for the NBA, which is great, and the current 30 teams is they want to expand. They're now going to sell these expansion teams. The get-in price is going to be $5 or $6 billion because that one, your franchise may not be worth that right on year one, but you also have to pay a fee just to come into the league because we need to split the pie two more ways, or maybe four more ways, I think, eventually down the line, but at least two more ways. That's going to be huge now for them coming in. So I think we're really in a spot where the NBA where has to be absolutely thrilled by this. And then the last thing I'll say for the Lakers as a whole, they've generally run pretty tight as far as off-court salary expenditures. They have one of the smaller front offices. They have a you know, relatively small scouting staff. Their analytics staff is pretty small. Their facilities are not—they're not bad by any means, but they're not anything that blows anybody away. And now you're going to have somebody who's going to come in and say,
"Going up."
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Final segment of the show. Caleb Johnson been with you for the last 3 hours. We will turn things over about 20 minutes from now to Mr. Eric Slaughter, who will come on and carry you through the evening. Good news when it comes to the Braves right now. They have added on another run, and this thing is not comfortably in hand yet because it's just 4-0. But it's a good outing, clean outing from Grant Holmes that certainly makes you feel good about the direction that this team is headed today. You got the run support. Some good base running, even though it includes Ronald Acuña Jr. running through Freddy Gonzalez's stop sign at third base to score the first run of the game. Then you had Ronnie doubling in the fifth to bring in a run, and Austin Riley bringing in Ronald Acuña Jr. Then you had Michael Harris getting into a fielder's choice situation that brought Drake Baldwin in, who, another one of those names that Alex Anthopoulos spoke about with Dukes and Bell on Friday. He was very, very, very clear that there is no interest in trading Sean Murphy, even though we've seen some really positive signs from Drake Baldwin. He'd cooled off there seemingly for the last couple of weeks. And the expectation for Alex Anthopoulos, as he told Chris Thomas and Mike Bell, is that catching position is a two-person job. Drake is doing great. Expect great things from him in the future. However, you just can't end up in a situation where you've got Drake Baldwin and you're bringing up James McCann. No offense, but there is a reason why James is playing in the minor leagues and not up with a major league club. You certainly don't want to put yourself behind the eight ball just planning for the future, which is most likely what a move to get out from Sean Murphy, what that would look like. Now, it seems very clear that Alex Anthopoulos believes that the bullpen, probably not an area that's going to get upgraded. It seems like he was more concerned with the offense, and so I would keep my eye on the shortstop position, certainly being one where this team could address some needs there. Would be curious where else they might go if now starting pitching is a desperate need enough that you look at something with Chris Sale. Obviously, he's not going to miss a ton of time, but on the 15-day injured list, after we now learn he fractured his left rib cage diving for the ball in the ninth inning against the Mets on Wednesday to save the out of Juan Soto, was awesome. I tweeted about it. It was a playoff type moment for Chris Sale, but it's now cost him some time. And it's another hurdle for the Braves to get over to right now. So it'll be interesting who gets called up. Is it Hurston Waldrop? Is it someone else? As we saw Didier Fuentes get his major league debut last night. And it looks like right now Grant Holmes is headed towards a win. All right, final segment here on the Dopey Millennial Show. Always like to end things with news you can lose. As I mentioned earlier, Game 7 of the NBA Finals on Sunday night. Super excited for that one. Actually, I'm a little bit annoyed, only for the simple fact that I'll be doing TV with Reggie Chapman on 11 Alive, and done this a few times when a game is going on and you can't talk about the game. Pretty difficult because it is pre-taped. Sorry to dispel the smoke and mirrors of live television, but it is pre-recorded, and we're going to be doing that during the NBA Finals. And so thankfully it's at the beginning of things and I can get out of there and go watch the game. But Game 7 between the Pacers and the Thunder, I am doubling down until I am shown otherwise. I think it's the OKC. I think it's the Oklahoma City Thunder who are going to pull this thing out, win their first championship, and create the start of a potential dynasty. I don't think it's going to end up being one because I just think the way that the new CBA has been set up is a deterrent for these teams to stick around and be competitive for years to come. And I think this is going to get expensive, just like what we've seen happen to other teams But certainly, this would be the first step for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think Jalen Williams, if he plays a good enough game, could potentially steal away MVP, a finals MVP, because of how dominant he was in Game 5. And I feel like Shai hasn't had a moment. Tyrese Halliburton has. Shai's just been really good. I don't feel like he's had a moment that was an absolute takeover for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in this series, but I could be proven otherwise. We could be seeing it in Game 7, and that certainly would go and affect these guys' legacies. I say all of that, though, to say that nothing like LeBron James, who has nothing to do with the NBA Finals right now, to enter his name into a conversation that is going to get a ton of attention. Because I will say this, I respect LeBron's greatness. There is no one quite like him as far as great amongst a sport who just loves to stir things up quite like he does and try to shift narratives in order to serve him best. And the latest narrative shift that LeBron James is on is he's got a podcast that he does, I believe, with Steve Nash. I think they bring other guests on as well, but Mind the Game is the name of the podcast. LeBron James already released an episode where they were breaking down film, and it broke some records as far as viewership and all that sort of thing, and he decided to spin it into this way of making fun of those who have said, oh, you can't just have a show about the NBA that breaks down film. And it's like, okay, LeBron, you had one episode. The people who talk sports for a regular basis are doing this on a daily basis. You can't talk strategy 5 days a week, 7 days a week, whatever the case might be, and people stick around. They like the drama. Game 7 is a part of the story just as much as the numbers and the actual nitty-gritty analysis and strategy of what goes into a game. So that has already happened for LeBron on his Mind the Game podcast. Then he follows it up this past week with deciding he's going to change the narrative of ring culture. Let's listen in.
It's funny. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why it's discussed so much in our sport. And why it's the A-all, be-all of everything. You sit here and you tell me, you know, Allen Iverson and Charles Barkley and Steve Nash, you know, and wasn't unbelievable. Like, oh, they can't be talked about or discussed with these guys because this guy won one ring or won two rings or won. Like, it's just weird to me. It's like saying Peyton Manning can't be in the same room with Brady. Mm. Or Mahomes, because he only has one ring. They don't never discuss that in a sport.
Right.
LeBron, yes, they do. Sir, yes, they do.
I was going to say, no, that kind of was like the knock on Manning's career. His entire career was, A, yeah, you're good, but like you ain't good as Brady. You can't beat Brady in the playoffs.
Yes, like, because there is something about the ability for one player to will an entire team to a championship that is a difference maker.
For a brief moment in time, there was a legitimate debate over who had the better career between him and his brother, because Eli at the time had won two rings.
Yeah, he had the two Super Bowls against the Patriots, against the Patriots, no less. Yes, that conversation was certainly going on because there is a value to championships. It is not the end-all, be-all. But you know what LeBron is doing here. He knows he's never getting to six. He's never getting six championships. And so what is the best way? And it's so infuriating to me to hear LeBron talk about, oh, why do we care about rings? Sir, did you not leave the Cleveland Cavaliers to go ring chase? Did you not go and do the very thing that you're now saying, I don't know why everyone cares about this so much? Oh, because you're so wise and knowledgeable now, and you don't need rings to satisfy the remaining parts of your career. We know what you're doing. This is the thing, is like LeBron's greatness often gets these little caveat moments, because like he steps in and tries to weigh in on things that drives me nuts. The whole what he did earlier with the NBA draft lottery this year, where he's sending crying emojis, essentially feeding into the conspiracy theories that the draft lottery is rigged for Dallas to end up with the number one overall pick after trading away Luka. It's just like no great of the game stirs up controversy amongst the game, not outside the game, because that is the one thing you can give LeBron, is that he's not getting into anything crazy off the court as far as drama, family life, or anything of other of the sort. But his ability to stir up controversy within the sport and trying to change narratives that he was a part of. LeBron left. He left them high and dry in Cleveland the first time. He also then wanted his rings. He then also wanted a ring in Cleveland, because rings do matter. It's not the end-all be-all. I can't remember if I clipped it before LeBron got into talking about Dan Marino, but he was like, yeah, it's how are you going to act like Dan Marino isn't one of the greats? He is. We talk about him like that, but there is a difference maker in a guy who can get a championship, who can be that difference maker on a team that gets all the way, and guys who can't. Now, certainly, we discussed the guys who were unable to do it and go through the many reasons why that has happened, because it's not always completely their fault. Of course not. But there is something about the ability to go win a championship, and that's going to play a factor in Sunday's game. If Shea comes up short, the narrative will shift around him, and it will also shift in a positive way for Tyrese Halliburton and the Indiana Pacers. The amount of respect that Tyrese, and for that matter, for Pascal Siakam, because I think Pascal has been the better player through this entire postseason, but Tyrese has had those moments. He has had the game winners every series that has made you go, oh, he's that guy. He's still not a superstar, in my opinion, but in my eyes, Shea isn't either. He needs the championship, especially looking at a roster that the expectations were much higher for him coming into these finals there when it was for the Pacers. We talked with Glenn Willis earlier in the show. He mentioned the veteran leadership that Indiana has, which plays a big factor in the postseason. But as far as raw talent, OKC is the better team. Rings do matter. They're not the end-all be-all, but they do matter, LeBron, and you're not going to change the narrative so that people will start talking about you as the GOAT. Those decisions have been made already. No one's changing their mind on those things, and the better that we come to terms with that, the better off we will be. All right, that's it for my time here on the Dopey Millennial Show. Shout out to producer Dom Shirosky on the other side of the glass. Thank you, sir. Until next time, y'all be good, Atlanta.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.